This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers. Newsmakers.
Makers.
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 Makers. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. This is WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we'll be talking lawns and gardens, and we'll also be talking about Tennessee Smart Yards. Our guests today, both master gardeners, Sarah Wade and LaVon Orpett. Am I saying your last name correctly?
That's correct.
Okay, good, good. Thank goodness. So what are you guys doing, and what's new, and tell us more.
Good morning.
All those things at once.
I know. It's the heat of the summer, so no one wants to be out gardening, you know?
We want to be inside learning about it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, I guess we're here today to talk about the Smart Yards program, right?
Yep,
they told you? All right, we'll do that. So the Smart Yards program is actually created by the Tennessee Extension Agency, and it's all about making your yard smarter. And
that's smart.
Yeah. How many times can we use that word? But it's all about, you know, you think about, you know, new construction and all the things that it does to the land, right? You have water runoff, you're taking away habitats, and we have to live in homes. We understand that. But this program is about trying to do it smarter. And it's online. You can actually just Google Tennessee Smart Yards. It's a actual certification program. You can just read it and do it how you want to. But if you want to go through the checklist and do the measurement, I think they call it a yardstick, then you actually can become certified and receive a little plaque for your yard, and everyone knows that you're smart.
They do. You should have a sign out front that says, I have a smart yard and I'm smart. That's
exactly
a good idea.
Yeah.
So with these smart yards, are we able to save money in the long run? Are we able to figure out better solutions to, you know, not only the water runoff, but maybe planting things like flowers, shrubbery?
Yeah. Got a native plant?
Yeah. Some of the ideas are to plant native plants, and like with water, lots of times people put in water barrels, or if you have some type of runoff, to use that type of water to water. But the main thing is using native plants, where to plant your plants.
I had transitioned my front yard to a lot of native plants over the past 2 years, and I swear by it. It's amazing how the natural things work.
Yeah. They really grow. Which they really do grow.
Because they don't care about our cold winters. They don't care about the heat. They just grow. And they're massive and they're huge. And so I have noticed a lot of the local nurseries trying to focus more on, not focus necessarily, but have a lot more native plants in stock. And that has been really, really helpful, because that's what's going to grow. And we're not, like right now when it's been 100 degrees outside, I haven't watered. Now, we have had rain this year, which is great. But last year when there was not rain and it was more of a drought situation, I didn't water it. They didn't care, because they're native.
Yeah.
They're made for Tennessee.
You know, that whole subject of the water runoff, that became a big, I guess, talking point around the 90s or so. But this is kind of the first time that I've really heard a lot talking about when it comes to the yard and water runoff. I've heard about farmers' fields and water runoff, but personal yards, you don't even think about it that much.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, if you're not really sure where your water runs or pools or whatever, then you know, pick one of these great thunderstorms we've been having and walk around your yard with an umbrella and see where it is. And then you can look at it. Like, I noticed in my yard, there was a drain spout that it was just pooling under the drain spout. And so I was like, oh, I probably should try to divert that water some way. And so I put down some rocks and some, you know, just kind of did some things to make it run off in a different direction so it wouldn't pool. So it's just simple things.
Yeah. And I don't really, I don't think people think all the way through when it comes to water runoff. You know, that does go back to what ultimately becomes our drinking water in most cases.
Yeah.
What can we do around the house that won't cost us a lot of money in order to make sure we keep our water clean, first of all, but also to make our yard look better?
Gardeners are, we're typically pretty cheap people, so anything that's free. So if you can, you know, get some rocks from, you know, my neighbor was giving away a bunch of rocks, and so I just took them all.
Facebook.
Facebook.
Marketplace.
Just watching where it runs off, just knowing where it pools and how to divert it. You can use downspouts. For example, I have my AC where the water drips out of my air conditioner. I have that going right to an apple tree. I just
buried
it under the ground. So because I had it on top of the ground, but my husband got tired of mowing over it.
I wouldn't even think about that.
And now that apple tree gets continual water all summer when it's hot, but it's just the air conditioning water that's feeding it.
I mean, you're talking about literally utilizing every drip of water around your house that comes outside somewhere in the yard. That's a good idea.
Yes. Yeah.
How much piping, I guess, did you have to use in order to do that from the AC to the tree?
For my tree, I just bought a 10-foot PVC pipe.
And it worked.
Just hooked up. Cool. It was super simple.
Yeah.
And like I said, then after about a year or two, we just buried it under the ground and there it sits and it gets watered. So just thinking outside the box, things like that. You know, it's just, you want to make sure that you're trying any way you can. There's a million ways you can do everything, but you're just looking at the problem and going, how can I fix this? How can I divert this? How can I, you know, what's better, you know?
That's a good idea. Now, when it comes to things like streams and creeks and rivers, you know, at one point, I know a lot of farmers would actually utilize that water from the river, pump it up to their property. I think maybe you had to have a permit for it. I don't remember. But those types of things, how do you guys look at that?
That's not my specialty.
Not mine either.
But I think that any way you could use what you have is the best way to do
as
it.
Opposed,
you know, there's a way to do it. You just may have to Google it, you know.
Yeah, but it does make more sense to use these natural sources or to use sources that are even man-made like the HVAC. But it makes sense to use that over just turning on that faucet and wasting water in that situation or that sense.
Right. And really, even like rain barrels, we're really big proponents of rain barrels. Someone asked me recently if that was, I know there are some states that have outlawed them or some cities, but Tennessee, go for it. I have four, you know, and so that's just going to take the runoff from your roof into a rain barrel and then use that to water. And I really do, I'm not really a wonderful science girl, but I think that the plants do better when they have actual rainwater compared to your filtered or your house water. Yeah. I just think the plants do better. So
I wonder why some states outlawed the use or some cities outlawed the use of rain barrels. I'm curious.
I don't know, but I'm glad that we don't have that rule here.
No, I think sometimes it was aesthetic.
Aesthetic, and you can hide them. You can put a bush in front of them.
Yeah, I have a bush in front of mine. Yeah.
Kind of like how, I guess, electric companies had, or people, once they buy their house, they had those electric boxes in their front yard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea.
That's a way to do it.
So what else can we do to have this smart yard? And by the way, once you get the smart yard, do you get like a sign or something to put out? Further education with that.
Well, another one that we like to always talk about is mulching. Mulching is a huge thing. And it really, in the Smart Yard program, there's a video about a yard without mulch and then a yard with mulch and the rain coming down on it, water pouring down on it, and the way that it filters the water. And it's really cool. It makes you like, oh, I want to go buy mulch right now. But that is going to reduce your watering. It's going to save those roots of your plants. And really, the ground is a living ecosystem. And so when you don't have it covered, it's going to put other things like your weeds that you hate on top of it, and those are going to reproduce because it needs to be covered. The ground doesn't like to be not be covered. It likes a blanket.
Kind of like we like clothes.
Like we make clothes. Exactly.
Right. Mulch is the clothes of the dirt.
It is.
There you go. There's a line for you.
And by the way, folks listening, if they have questions related to lawns and gardens and things like this, then all you have to do is text us 615-893-1450. Now, I'm curious, when it comes to the different types of mulches to use, I know some of them have dyes in them and stuff. Do those go into the ground if they're rained on?
Yeah, they do. You know, I think with everything, it's just a give and take, you know.
Yeah.
We don't really recommend the rubber mulch.
Yeah, the rubber.
But the actual, you know, anything that's been created or broken down from a live plant, it's going to break down and it's going to create fertilizer and then a couple years. So it just kind of this whole, so if you think about forest, right? If a tree falls down in the forest, that tree needs to lay there and it needs to disintegrate and decay. And that creates fertilizer for the new growth of the forest. And that's really how your yard is as well. I had a tree in my front yard that I didn't know was an apple tree. But after years and years of mulching, after we bought the house, and I thought, what is growing on that tree? And it was apples. But I didn't know it, but it was all the fertilizer of the years of mulching that were going into it that were finally feeding that tree. And I was like, oh, what a surprise.
So the tree wasn't providing the apples for years because the wrong unfiltered dirty water was getting to it.
I guess.
That's wild.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was really crazy.
You're good now.
Yeah, we're good. Well, the tree was really diseased because it wasn't taken care of, so I had to cut it down. But before I cut it down.
It would have been cool.
It would have been really cool.
But that is interesting. I never think about, well, if we give it this water or it's been getting this water, that might not be the best for it.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're using fertilizers or pesticides, you know, as master gardeners, we don't take a side on whether or not to use these products. We stay neutral with it. But just make sure that you're using it appropriately. There is a label on it, and make sure that you're using it according to the label. These things are highly tested, highly regulated. Again, I'm not going to say you can or can't use any particular product, but just make sure that you're using it with the label.
You know, the years we did have a garden, and we had a pretty good size garden some years, and some years we didn't, but I was always real leery of using any type of pesticides or really anything other than natural stuff, because I was just worried about chemicals getting into my food.
It, for sure. I mean, it is a worry. We just have to take a neutral stance as master gardeners. Right. But you can do what we would do in our own yards. It might be a little bit different. But that is really, really interesting to find out, too, about is that, you know, there are natural predators. So if you have an aphid, you're going to attract ladybugs because ladybugs eat aphids. And so, you know, it is a whole ecosystem thing. You don't have to just go out and spray everything. There is a nature will take care of itself. You know?
I guess my thinking was always, well, if we have this great freedom of being able to grow our own garden, well, the whole purpose of it is to grow exactly what we want to actually grow, and we want it to be healthy, and therefore why would I use anything on it?
Right.
Building a little fence around it or something like that to keep animals out. Now that's another story. That's tough to keep other animals out.
The bunnies are
the rabbits do like our garden.
Yeah, they almost they're able to dig underneath the fence. So it's tough getting these things out. And then we have a lot of deer in Rutherford County too.
Oh yes. They'll wipe out your whole garden and
or just lean over the fence and help
one
themselves.
Morning you just go out and it's all gone. Oh
yeah. What happened to my garden? It's gone.
Little nubs left.
That's true.
Have y'all noticed, like in our mulch bed, I've noticed that almost every single morning, the mulch is spread out all over our sidewalk. And I watched one morning and figured it out. The rabbits go in there and they dig around for whatever they're looking for. They make a mess.
They do. They do. It's just part of nature.
So with rubber mulch, it seems like everybody I talk to who's into gardening, they all say the same thing. Well, I wouldn't recommend using rubber mulch. I'm curious, what are some of the negatives about it?
Well, it's plastic.
It never disintegrates.
Rubber. You know, it's not going to disintegrate. It's going to lose its color. It's
going to... leaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the ground and...
I mean, would you leave a tire sitting out in your front yard? No, so probably not the best idea to do that.
Exactly.
Well, if you have my neighbors, you do.
Along with the car up on the jacks in the front yard. Always nice. So what is the best type of vegetable or fruit to grow this time of year? Or is it too late to plant anything?
It is not too late to plant. I think everybody thinks that it is, and that's because it's July, but they forget that we have a hot October.
And
September, October. You really have plenty of time to plant most everything. If you're growing something from a seed, you can look in the back of the seed packet, and it's going to tell you a number, and it's going to say days to harvest. And if it says 100, then, you know, count from July 3rd and count 100 days. And our, you know, whatever that number is, count out. And if we haven't hit the frost at that point, you're good to go. So I just put some tomatoes in last week. I mean, they'll be fine. They like the heat. This time of year is great. Now, I will say with tomatoes, it is a time of year for tomatoes, but it is hot out and they don't germinate above about 90 degrees.
Right.
So a lot of people have been texting me and worried that they're not getting blooms. My tomatoes aren't growing. Well, that's because it's too hot out. So just let them just cool. They're still going to grow. You'll be fine, but just let the weather cool down a little bit and you'll be fine.
I have a couple of questions here. This first one says, I love sunflowers, but I've never grown them. Do they grow well here? And is it too late to plant those, the sunflowers?
No. Start planting. They're very hardy. They're beautiful. They're great for, pollinators and wildlife and birds. And plant those sunflowers. But always, always read the package. Plant them according to the directions.
I've never actually planted sunflowers, so I'm wondering, once they do grow, when do you know it's time to actually cut them? And then how do you get those little seeds out? What do you do?
They actually will dry out.
Yeah,
they'll dry. And if you don't cut it down, the thing with what I've learned most about gardening is that there's all these different varieties, and you have to just figure out which variety you want. If you want actual sunflower seeds, then you need to get a variety, like a mammoth sunflower, that's going to produce those seeds. There are smaller ones. There's a one called Teddy Bear that's all fluffy. There's no seeds in that one. I mean, there's seeds, but it's not like the sunflower seeds that you think to eat, you know? So just get the right variety, and then the big ones that would actually have seeds that you would eat, they will dry on the stalk if you don't cut it down, and the birds will find it.
I say the birds are going to tell you.
Have y'all ever grown them, and have you tried?
Oh yeah.
So how did it come out with the seeds? Did you season them? What'd you do?
Yeah, we just cracked them open and ate them.
That's what I did too. Yeah, no seeding.
It was really simple. It was really one of those things that you kind of go, oh, this is way simpler than I thought. Yeah.
So no flavoring or anything, just eat them raw.
My kids used to love to pluck them, and yeah, we just let them dry a little bit.
It's the mammoth sunflower ones that you can just rake it. I mean, yeah, you just rake the seeds off. It's really cool.
That is cool. This next one says, when I was a kid, my grandmother had what I thought were snap peas planted in the yard, and we could just go out there and eat those by plucking them off the tree, kind of like what you were saying. What type of plant is this, though? Because I am not sure. I guess they're asking, is it just regular old snap? Or is that
probably
what it says?
A snap pea. Yeah, those are a cool weather crop. The other thing to be really aware of is cool crops versus warm crops. So your broccoli, your snap peas, your cauliflower, those are all cool crops. I mean, they want the cooler weather. You grow them right now, they are not going to grow. They're going to go to seed before you can even get a harvest off of them. But wait for the fall, wait for September, and you can grow them. But yeah, snap peas, they do great here. I usually plant mine in like February.
Okay. So. This next one says, I have arthritis, and I was told that if I used aloe on it, it would actually help in the places where it hurts the worst. Can I grow aloe here? And have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I have aloe. I mean, I grow it inside. Have you ever seen it growing outside?
No. I mean, no.
I don't think
that
so.
That grows great. I guess what? The really hot areas, like warm, tropic?
You can put it on your front porch or something, but I would put it in where the light doesn't hit it directly. If the sun is bearing, you think, oh, cactus, the sun can bear on it, but it's not, it'll kill it. But if it's like a covered front porch, and so it's in shade, then it'll be fine. But I grow mine in my house.
Yeah, mine's in my house too.
And I've only heard it good for rubbing it on stuff like burns and things like that.
I've never heard of arthritis.
I've never heard of that.
I've heard people taking liquid aloe vera for inflammation.
Yeah.
But I will say it really does help. Like if you have a burn or even a sunburn. It helps a lot. Because I remember as a kid growing up, my grandmother had an aloe plant, and she would break one of those leaves, whatever you call them, and just rub it on.
Yeah.
A little sticky at first. Yeah. It has to dry. But yeah, I do remember that. But I am curious what it would do for somebody with arthritis, if it would help. I don't know.
I've never heard that, but let us know.
Interesting idea.
Yeah, interesting idea.
But there are all types of plants that you can grow here, especially during the summertime,
you can grow.
People don't think about
most everything here. Mm-hmm. Your fruit crops, your apples, your peaches. You might have to do some spraying type of a thing because of our humidity. We are a haven for every bug and insect in the planet. So you might, and there are organic spraying. Just because you say spray does not mean that it's not organic or whatever the buzzword is. But there are things you can do, and there are listed. There's a wonderful website called uthort.com. So just uthort.com, and you can really, they have done a ton of work on this website, and it's just it's so great. And you can just go into that and you can literally type in apple tree, and it'll take you exactly where you need to go. We have all the researchers out of UT that do all these publications, and they research a ton of what grows in Tennessee, and they've done a phenomenal job. That's where I go anytime I have a question. I just go right there.
Sounds good. Again, with us today in studio talking about lawns, gardens, and Tennessee Smart Yards, Sarah Wade and LaVon Orpett, both master gardeners. And we do have another question. And by the way, you too can text us questions, 615-893-1450. This person says, hi, my name is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Don't have people do that too much. It says, why do people dislike the Bradford pear tree so much? And my neighbor has several, and they're pretty big, beautiful, white, and they look like they would be good for shade. What's not to like about this?
Good question.
Very inquisitive question. It's doing a news investigation. So Bradford pears. I don't know what is to like and not like.
Well, they are an invasive tree, and I mean they split. They make a mess.
They're a very weak tree.
They're a weak tree.
So as anyone that has lived here for 5 minutes knows, we get some storms, we get some wind, and those, they break very easily. They're just a very weak tree. They are pretty. I will say, I do like it when the white blooms come out. They are gorgeous, but they smell terrible.
They do smell bad. I agree. I can't stand that. Yeah.
There's better options.
Yeah.
I can say that.
Now, are those the trees where whenever there's a hard rain with some wind, you see the white flowers all over somebody's driveway?
Yeah,
probably. Yeah. See, I don't like that part either.
Yeah,
yeah.
Messy. They're very weak. They are big, and yes, they do provide shade, but there are just better options.
This next one says, I just moved here from Missouri. What kind of fruit trees grow well here?
Well, the go-to is strawberries and blueberries. Strawberries do fantastic here, and blueberries do really well here as well. If you want to just go with something that doesn't require a lot of work.
Right. Fruit trees in general, it seems like they require a pretty good amount of work.
They do.
This question says, it's been 10 years since I grew my own tomatoes. Jetstar was my favorite. Are they still available in this area? When can I plant them?
I'm not sure about that variety, because there are literally thousands of tomato varieties. I would just get on the internet and do a search. You probably can buy seeds for them from somewhere. But yeah, you can go ahead. I mean, you can plant them from seed. Can you plant tomato? You're kind of pushing it right now to plant them from seed. I would try it just to have fun. But honestly, when you buy a seed packet, you get like 100 seeds. So,
oh, good.
If the three you want to grow don't work out, then try it again next year.
Now, they ask, is it still available? That kind. Phase some different, like Jetstar, we're going to phase this out this year. What do they do?
I'm not sure how they do that. Honestly, the seed breeders, I think just as they get seeds, and there are some wonderful companies out there that provide different types of seeds. So I really don't know anything about that variety, unfortunately.
I mean,
sounds cool.
Yeah.
Jetstar. That's kind of a cool name.
I know you do hear about new breeds coming in, but I've never thought about, what do they do with some of the old ones? If people aren't buying them, do they just say no?
There are
have
companies
this?
that are devoted to using those heirloom varieties. They are out there.
And the heirloom varieties, does that mean they've been, I guess, around for 50 to 100 years? What does that mean?
It just means that they've been around forever. I don't know what the time frame is. I'm sorry.
These are questions that are on the test.
Some master gardeners listening to this yelling at me and LaVon right now.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I don't want to answer that one.
She's making us all look bad.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, guys.
Again, talking about lawns and gardens, you can text us any questions you may have at 615-893-1450. We got to take a short break, and we will be right back right after this. Again, time right now, 8:45.
Don't let concerns about today's events derail your long-term financial strategy. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin, and I'm here to help. We can work together to understand the impact of these events and make sure that your goals are top of mind. While you can't control market volatility, we'll help focus on what you can control. We can connect in several virtual ways. Start by giving me a call at 615-907-7056. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
50 fresh, flavorful seasons at the Rutherford County Farmers Market.
You bringing your tomatoes this Friday?
Sure am. Pick fresh this morning.
And I'll bring the sourdough.
Rutherford County Farmers Market, Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1, at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Again, you can text us any questions you may have to 615-893-1450. And this morning we're talking lawns and gardens. And with us today, Sarah Wade and LaVon Orpit, both master gardeners. And I think we have another question here. It says, I have a problem with water standing in my backyard. And I was told that there's some plants that could be placed there that would actually reduce the problem. Is there something I should be doing, or have you got any ideas?
Yes. So that is a whole system called a rain garden. And that can be very simple or it can be very complex. So I would steer you to the UT Hort website, or you can just Google it, for what's called a rain garden. And we do have one out at the Extension Center. There's a big demo garden. It's right as you drive in behind the first building. And because there is so much water runoff from all these parking lots and from the apartment complex behind it, all filters down, and it just creates this basically flood area. But we have our demo garden leaders that have been working on that rain garden. All the plants there are ones that thrive with all that water, and they also can survive without it. So it's really a cool concept. And I'm glad this has taken off. Last year, our family went to Washington, D.C., and around Washington, D.C., they had rain gardens all over with signs and stuff. So it's really a great way to take care of these areas that do flood or pool water really well.
I think my pet peeve are apartment parking lots, because if you watch, I've seen people dump all types of stuff down like they changed their oil in the parking lot. And I've literally seen somebody what looked like they were dumping it down the drain.
Yeah. And a couple of years ago, we taught a rain garden class. And in the rain garden, we kept getting these circular discs, and we couldn't figure out what they were. And they would just be, you know, every now and then we had these circular discs, and I'm talking about something running off because we didn't put it there, you know. And we finally figured out, we were in a class once, and someone raised their hand, and she said that she lived in the apartment complex, and what it was pieces of fireworks. And from the fireworks that were washing through into the garden. And we were like, oh, fireworks. That's what these discs are, just, you know, from the containers. But things get washed in there. And so the rain garden, the plants will actually help filter some of that out. And
of course, 4th of July tomorrow.
So. Yes, I know. So we'll have more next week in the rain garden.
So when people shoot off fireworks in the street, don't just brush them into the grates there.
It'd be best to just clean the next morning when everything's cooled down to sweep it up and put it in the garbage.
That's right.
Instead of putting it in our waterway, for sure.
This next one says, I have a glassed-in porch. We do not use it as a Florida room. But do they used to call them Florida rooms? Mm-hmm. Glassed-in? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It says, but we do have some gliders out there, and it has plenty of room for, if this works, vegetables to grow. I love fresh vegetables. Could I actually grow those inside so I don't have to go outside because I'm elderly?
Yeah, I think so.
So you could grow them in there?
Get some light, some heat. Now, you have to remember with vegetables, they like the heat. So you have to kind of, you know, if your house is at 75 degrees, and tomatoes, that's still a little too cold for a tomato. but a lettuce would be great. Lettuces or the cooler crops would make sure they have ample light. I would have some kind of a...
So you couldn't just put it next to the window? Or could you?
Depending on how much light comes through.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, some Florida rooms are quite shaded. If you get sunlight.
The light can be filtered as well through a window.
Okay.
But try it and see.
We bought our house a couple of years ago. It was new. There were no trees in the yard. And this is a long question, so just be ready.
Okay.
There were no trees, and the bushes were really pretty rough looking. It's about time, though, that we possibly start over with some better bushes, plant some trees. So what would you suggest as far as bushes and trees go that are fairly easy to take care of? I don't want to spend a lot of time doing lawn and garden work.
My suggestion would be to, without knowing what their light is like, how much light they're getting, whether it's a shaded yard or a sunny yard, it's hard to make an actual specific recommendation. I would try to, they need to determine that first. And then...
Got you a little choked up.
Sorry, I did. And then I would look for native plants. If you want something that's not going to be... not need a lot of maintenance, I would try to find anything that's native to Tennessee. And that's pretty easy to find that.
Low maintenance is like the best thing ever.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think sometimes we get a little too excited when we plant stuff for the first time, and next thing we know, it's taking up all our time, because it easily can take up a huge amount of time.
Yes. Another thing, too, is that when these plants take over, I was looking at my front garden bed this morning, there's some plants that are pretty and they're flowering, but they're taking over and they're hiding the light from my native plants that actually want to grow there. So, you know, it just, yeah, it's, you know.
I, you know, we decided no more garden after I made the mistake of planting mint in the garden.
Mint can only go in a pot. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to go everywhere.
It took over everything.
Yeah, it took over everything.
The next year, we pretty much just gave up by the end of the year because it came back even though we thought we got it all.
Yep. No.
You never get all of the mint.
And I actually love mint. I do have it growing in a place that does not.
I used to love mint.
I love it. But it does take over and you go, wow, I didn't plant it anywhere near there or, you know. But put it in a pot. And what we do in the demo gardens is we actually have another area for the herb gardens. And we do have mint and all these things there, but they're planted in a pot and the pot is in the ground.
Yeah, that's what it's not, just
a raised pot that's sitting out. The pot is actually planted in the ground to control those roots from not spreading out. And it works really well.
And that's a cool idea. I've seen some landscaping where they actually plant the pot halfway in the ground so you see it coming up a little bit. But the way they did it, it looked really cool.
Mm. Yeah.
Next question. It says, I am definitely going to start a garden. We've been talking about it for a long time, but is it too late to start one this year?
It's not, but it is. Right. Talk to him about garden basics.
Okay. Through the UT Extension, we have a garden basics course, and I'm not sure exactly what dates that they're going to have it, but it's usually watch for it end of September, and then they'll... about 3 weeks in October, and they'll talk to you about gardening, setting up your garden. We have different speakers come in about planting the garden, when to plant, you know, how to winterize your garden so you're ready for the fall and summer. And it's a great course.
I was going to say, we used to teach a class in the spring, but we moved it to the fall because we realized that in the springtime, and this is why it goes back to that question, is that by the time the class was over with, it was kind of too late to start the class. Because you already needed to have soils and different things in place to have a successful summer garden. So we moved the class to the fall so that now you have all winter and /spring to prepare for that. And I think it's worked out really well. Mm-hmm. And so it's called Garden Basics. So we don't have the exact dates yet, but look for it in September/October.
I think we have time for one more question. And this one says, I love a good pickle. Yeah, who doesn't, right? Okay. It says, for years we've grown cucumbers, but they've never been the right size to actually use for pickling to make pickles. Is there a type of cucumber that you would suggest us using?
I'm not up on my cucumbers. I know there are different kinds of, like, those called pickling cucumbers. So you're going to want to grow a variety that's a pickling cucumber as opposed to, it'll say on it, pickling, you know, great for pickling or whatever.
Yeah, all the cucumbers.
There's so many varieties of everything. It's so hard to know. I couldn't even tell you what varieties I have in my own yard because there's just so many and I get excited and I buy too many seeds and I'll see what grows.
That's where I think the UT Hort would be a great place to go again because they do the test trials of the different cucumbers and everything, so that would be a great resource.
Yes, I forgot the trials. Yeah, they do trial every year. Mm-hmm. And actually you can be a part of it yourself. It comes out in the spring. I didn't do it this year, but I've done it for the past 5 years, and you actually get seeds and you trial it and you grow them side by side and you report the information back to Knoxville, and they create a spreadsheet. And their goal is to be able to say, for that question, what is the best pickling cucumber? This is the variety. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they are trialing all these things all the time.
You know, and I never even thought about that before, that subject, but all the cucumbers I've ever grown, they've all grown pretty big. I mean, there's no way you could fit it in a jar or anything.
Right, so, right.
10 feet long.
Yeah.
Now, but that is a good question. Something that I don't think most people think about, you know?
It's all about variety.
Yeah.
And you just have to know or learn or look up what the best variety is.
And there's lots to learn.
There's so much to learn.
It seems like that world of gardening, it's almost endless. I mean, there's so many different things to grow and do. It's pretty cool, though.
It is. That's one of the reasons I love it.
Good hobby.
Yes.
Again, we've been talking with Sarah Wade and LaVon Orpett, both master gardeners here in Murfreesboro. And for anybody wanting to learn more, the Agriculture Extension website, I guess, best place to turn?
Yes, absolutely. Rutherford.tennessee.edu.
And the Farmer's Market every Tuesday and Friday. Now, is that going on tomorrow because it's 4th of July?
Yes, we were talking about it
last year.
It did last year.
And that's where you could take a walk around the gardens, our demo gardens.
Visit
too.
Our demo gardens. Yeah. That's what they're for.
The rain garden.
And everything is labeled. All the plants are labeled.
Composting.
So you know exactly what it is.
Yeah. It's all there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's all there.
Thank you for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Hi, this is Dan at Music World and Drummer's Den. If you need music gear, Music World and Drummer's Den is where you need to be. We have more guitars than anybody in town. We have all stringed instruments. We've got it all. We have keyboards as well. Do we have drums? We are Music World and Drummer's Den. We also have an excellent choice of used equipment. We are Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. When Kristen said, okay, you know, when we're going to do the remodel, because we're celebrating 35 years, we also wanted to make it more open and inviting, so we made the lobby a lot more open for booth seats, a little bit different colors to kind of still keep it a little up to date, make it fresh. We wanted to make it cozier, make it a little bit brighter for people to see, to pay homage to where we have been the entire time. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all your lawn and garden needs. Also, if you're looking for that great gift idea, please come see us. If you're looking for that perfect outfit or a wedding gift or baby gift, come see us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. And if you haven't heard, we also carry the rain chains. If you're looking for something to replace your old gutter or put somewhere where you can't put a gutter, come see us at the Co-op Farm and Home Center, Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.